unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory.
The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness has he openly shown. In the sight of the heathen, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. He has remembered his mercy and his truth to all the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory.
Amen. I know that
he has remembered the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Oh, sing unto the Lord
a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory.
To exhort this evening, and I want us just to familiarize ourselves and remind ourselves of the times that we are living in and that we are experiencing and seeing the falling away and all these things that are happening and what we hear in the news and around us and in our communities and towns and cities really don't come by surprise. And I'm calling our teaching today, Faith for the Problem of Today. Faith for the Problem of Today, or the Problems of Today. It's one thing to be talking about these end time events, and we've heard much over the years with regard to this, and we are indeed seeing it happening. But where do we as believers stand in all of this? Are we simply focused on our faith and the promises in God's word? Are we standing in faith for all our needs and our overcoming and our general walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, all of which is important? But are we also allowing our faith to stand in this falling away? Because I believe that we also need faith to believe that we will be kept close to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is happening in these closing days is that we are seeing a falling away in Christendom. Those who are holding to the faith, they are becoming victims to another gospel, another faith, another Christ, another leader, another church, another denomination. All of these things that are so prevalent around us. But those who walk close with the Lord, they are going to be discerning. They're going to be those wise virgins that the Bible speaks of. And they're going to be able to discern these last days. And not only are they going to be able to discern, but in their discernment, it's going to cause them to rise up in faith, to overcome, to endure, and to remain faithful. It's one thing discerning it, it's another thing allowing the Spirit of God to use it in order to strengthen you. And that is what I believe it should be doing for the overcomer. As I was preparing this, I became aware of this and never really thought of it in that light. We know that with our trials and our tests that we go through, they are all designed for us to be strengthened in our faith, in our heart, our consecration with the Lord. And so likewise with our discernment in these last days, as we are correctly discerning and reading the times that we live in. And that is why I'm calling this teaching today, Faith for the Problems of Today. And we know this portion of scripture well, which we're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do those also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, as theirs also was. I think that those few verses there are so descriptive of the times that we live in. I think that what we read there, and remember the apostle was in prison, writing, exhorting, encouraging young Timothy in the faith to remain faithful and to his calling and ministry. He is writing here things out in the future. He's aware what's going on and God is using it. But so often when writers or prophets were inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit, they're very often speaking out in the future, but not always aware of it. And I think that this is really applicable, because this very much in particular speaks to our Western democracy that is slowly crumbling. And it's only a question of time before it all finally falls. And it will become like a domino effect. And we're progressively moving quicker and quicker toward this, as we're seeing the falling away now. And so the question is tonight, am I in faith to stand in this? To not be lured away, to be deceived, when things get very rocky? And believe me, they are, particularly in this country. So this is where we find out whether our faith is causing us to stand, to look to Jesus, to be intercessors, to be faithful in our walk, and so on. Turn with me to familiar verses in Matthew 24, coupled with just what we've read there in 2 Timothy. In Matthew 24, and I'm going to read quickly just verses 3 through to 14 of Matthew 24. Here is where Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple. And then he goes on about the signs of the times at the end of the age. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So we notice that it is a few who ask the right things. Most, sadly, are not that interested. But those who are hearing what the Spirit is saying, they will come privately and will ask the Lord. The same as the overcomers in their relationship and walk with God will come privately and start asking him. And the Holy Spirit will still speak out today if we want to know. And he says, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." In other words, many will say they are Christians. Many will say that they love the Lord and that they go to these various churches. But he says, take heed. Don't let anyone deceive you. And he goes on, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So he gives a warning here in verse 6 that we are to have faith for the problems of today. We could well be on the brink of a World War III. Let's make no bones about it. Even governments, even people in the world are speaking of this, that it's just a question of time that there will be a World War III. And Jesus says quite clearly here in verse 6, and you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. Here's the warning. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So it is all leading toward the end. But don't be troubled. He's already warning us. So if Jesus is warning us, he's warning us for a reason, that we're able to stand by faith in these last days. And a wise man or woman will take heed on this. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Well, are we not seeing this over the last 30, 40 years in particular? And is it getting any better? Less? No, it's slowly building up. Then they will deliver you up in tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So in the last days, they will hate the gospel. They will hate the true believers. Nothing changes, brothers and sisters. There is nothing new under the sun. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. So not only was Jesus betrayed, but there will be betrayers also in the last days, handing over Christians, thinking they're doing God a service. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So as the church is being shaken, so then these false prophets are going to come in like leeches, like predators, to try and devour through this shaking, just like the enemy, isn't it? How he works. And because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So there in the beginning, in verses 3 to 14, Jesus gives a brief outline of what is going to take place. And then he begins to open up more as you read on in verse 15, reiterating and embellishing and revealing more. So we're seeing all of these things, as I've said, beginning to increase. We're seeing what greed is doing around the world, aren't we? We're seeing what Islam is trying to do around the world. We're seeing all these different forms of expression of freedom, self-expression, all of this increasing, this rebellion. Nothing new. Well, going back to 2 Timothy, let's look at this and just open it up a bit more. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, this word perilous, it gives us the idea of troubles, difficulty, stress. And this gives us the atmosphere of the last days. It's a good word to use. And it was a word that was used to describe things that are dangerous. For example, if you used the word perilous, it gives you the idea of a raging sea, or earthquakes, wild animals, all that sort of thing. That would be the idea, the imagination of this word. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 8 and verse 28. And here we have the story of the two demon-possessed men. And here we get this idea of this word. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before our time?" There is the idea of that word. They were fierce. They were demon-possessed. Nobody wanted to go near them or go past them. There's the idea of that word, perilous. So it gives us a description of what the apostle is saying here to Timothy. It seems as though Paul is speaking of bad people, wicked people, depravity. It's very much speaking in line of the ways of men. Well, again, we can glean from that the idea that this speaks of the latter days, because he says in the last days perilous times will come. So he's speaking of the last days. Men will be lovers of themselves. Well, that's a good giveaway, isn't it? Men will be lovers of themselves. We hear everything today to feed the self-life, to promote the self-life, to believe in yourself, to succeed. Everything is geared toward making you a better person, to feel better. And all of this, he tells us, that is happening in these last days. Now the question is, for these last days, are people discerning all of this? We get an inkling of this in Matthew 16 and verse 3, where Jesus rebukes those around him for not discerning the signs and the times. And he answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." And there he was having a go at those Pharisees and Sadducees. They were blind to spiritual discernment. And sadly, this still goes on today. Human nature doesn't change. There are still professing believers who really have such little insight as to what is actually going on around them. And he says that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. So what is Paul doing here? Well, he's simply describing the human condition. You see, man is encouraged, isn't he, to love himself. And you know what? Man will have no problem with that. If I could teach a gospel to love yourself, to promote yourself, to feed yourself, to encourage yourself, to love yourself and everything, I probably would have millions following. But that is not what the gospel says. We're actually to forsake all of that. We're to surrender and give up all of that. We know that well, don't we? We'll just remind ourselves again in Romans 12. Romans 12. And verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." There we are. So we're not only to present and give ourselves upon the altar, but also he warns of that pride, that ministering to self. And all of this shows just how bad we are in the flesh and the glory what we have in Jesus Christ, who triumphed over the flesh of man. And that is what he's showing here. And that is why he's the only one who can cause us to triumph and overcome in all of this, by keeping our eyes and heart, everything focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has triumphed and overcome the weakness of the flesh. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And that is why that self-love that we have is the basic sin. And that self-love, everything flows as a result from it. And that self-love destroys everything, and it destroys relationships. And so Paul warns here that this is going to increase. They're going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. All of that is eroding and killing the love of God in lives. It's destroying. That is the nature of it. That self-love, putting self first, destroys any love around it, and certainly it tries to destroy God's agape love. And that is why God at times has to deal with us in the way that he does. To remind us of that cross that we too take up daily and follow, that deals with that self-life, that selfish life. The power of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, deals with this. We need to be empowered by the Spirit if we are to walk in this way. Otherwise, it is a self-love, selfish, sinful, and it destroys. That is its nature. It destroys. And that's why we have the divorces that we have. This is why family life is breaking up. Parents, children don't communicate like they used to, and so on. It's the falling away, because it's this self-love. It's me, myself, what I want. And it destroys. It's destructive. And sadly, we've had to see God remove some in our circles because it destroys fellowship. It's destructive in nature. It's demonic. And the devil uses it because it will destroy relationships, and relationships are absolutely vital in the house of God. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, then you love your brother, your sister. That is the basis of fellowship. There is no other fellowship otherwise. And you see, this self-love, which is so deceiving, many today believe that they deserve to be what it says here. They deserve to be lovers of money. They deserve to be boasters, to be proud, to blaspheme, to be disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I deserve it. I'm important. That's how they think. And that's what it does. And so most today are just simply believing they deserve all of this. And that's why so many are trying to be rich. So many are trying to be entrepreneurs and so on. That greed, that driving force. Everyone today is driving to succeed, to be rich, to get more money. Looking for a better job all the time. And so it goes on. There is all it is. It's around us. You know it goes on. It's probably going on in your family. It may be going on with your son, your daughter. It's all around us. Because they believe it's their right. They boast. They're proud. We have today this celebrity culture. They're loud. Proud, all want to be stars, and so on. And people flock to these programs. They love this program, Love Island, and Big Brother, and others. They flock to it because it ministers to the self, the pride. Verse 3, we're told, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Well, this boasting, this pride, as I've already said, we've got a culture of it today. They're unloving. In other words, they no longer hold to family life, family traditions. They disregard the family life. It gets in the way of my promotion. It's so sad what is happening. And because society is so driven, and because there's such greed, want for better things and everything, It also encourages mothers with young children to go out and work as well. And I'm talking here about Christians now. I'm not talking about the world. This is where you trust the Lord that he will provide. There is nothing like a mother's love and attention for that infant. It is important. And yet they're out working because they want that luxurious life. And they're disregarding the family life. It's not that important. And they're without self-control. What is without self-control? Well, the increase getting worse and worse with drugs, sex, alcohol, food. Yes, food. Gluttony. Almost every day on TV, there's a food program. And they wonder why we have a problem with obesity in the nations. And I could just simply go on and on and on with all of this. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. This unforgiving, today, people want their own back. Litigation. Everyone wants to sue one another. There's no forgiveness. No patience, long-suffering, gentleness. And then in verse 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And sadly, traitors, headstrong, haughty, we're seeing that in politics. It's coming out. We're seeing insanity coming out in society. And even in high places. And men will be brutal in these last days. We're seeing the increase in murder, violence, knife crimes, we know particularly in this country. It's epidemic. ISIS. How about the abortion? The millions of children that are aborted a year. It's a holocaust. And we all turn a blind eye to it. It's tragic. If this doesn't bring the wrath of God upon the earth, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. And their pleasures, they love pleasures rather than lovers of God. And that is the problem. They want their pleasures. They want to live like the world, act like the world, dress like the world. But they want to be known as Christians. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So what we have mentioned there in those few verses, if they don't repent, if they don't allow the word of God to work this within their hearts, to get free, delivered, and we were all affected in one way or another with some of those things, and maybe some of us are still walking things out. So none of us can point the finger because we have been delivered or are being delivered from what we've been talking about here. But the point is that our eyes are upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Our knees are bowed in humility before his presence. And we are desperate people for change. And that's why we find ourselves coming week after week. Because something within us says, I do not want to have a form of godliness. Because by doing that, I do not have the power of the Spirit of God to change me in my life. And if I don't do something about this, then I will turn away and will compromise. because that is what happens. They turn away. They eventually become offended. They cannot live that lie having a form of godliness. You can only live it for a season. You see, the problem is that human beings want to live, they want to worship God, follow God, but don't give me any boundaries. I don't want the boundaries. I want to be free. I want to do what I want to do, but I'll follow you, Lord. It just doesn't work. And some of us have to face this, because it's what we're doing. And the reason that they turn away, because he goes on, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts. Well, of course, that also is speaking of women in those days who were in their houses. They did often in those days look after children, but they had to be on their guard. They could be vulnerable. They could be deceived, led away through gossip, through lies, talk, and so on. And we likewise have to be on our guard every time we listen to news or whatever it would be. Because so often there's lies, deception that is behind it. Particularly now with these last days, what we hear. That's why they even now call it fake news. There's only one news and recording that you believe, and that is the Word of God. Everything else, you just simply leave it, shelve it. And if it's of God, then it will come to pass. If it's not, it doesn't, and it makes no difference to us. Because our eyes are so firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they're putting their ears always to different things. They're putting their ears to sensation, to gossip, something new or a new idea or a new minister or whatever it is. And these sort of people never learn. They never come to any knowledge of truth. They're wanderers. They go around from church to church, ministry to ministry, listening to this message, that message, and so on, ever getting more and more confused. I've met them. I've seen them, sadly. And sadly, we've had them in the church. And it's exactly what the apostle says here. And then he goes on in verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. So they don't really have discernment. And that is what he's saying here. Now, Jannes and Jambres, they aren't named in Exodus, but they are Egyptian magicians. And they, as you know, opposed Moses before Pharaoh. And they worked real miracles. It wasn't trickery. They weren't magicians. They were working real miracles. But what you were seeing there was the powers of darkness. Now, that is put there for a reason. Because he goes on in verse 9, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. So he's referring to the powers of darkness who are working miracles. Now, if this doesn't characterize the end times, then I don't know what does. And we get a glimpse of this in Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verses 13 to 15. Revelation 13, verses 13 to 15. He performs great signs so that he gives, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So we're going to see an increase of the powers of darkness working miracles. Does that alarm you? Does that frighten you? Or does that cause you to become even more and more dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Because when I read that, it most certainly does. And don't use the excuse, oh, we won't be around by that time. We'll be raptured and caught away. Yes, we will be. But we still do not rest on our laurels. We still allow the Word of God to prepare us and to make ourselves ready. What does it say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders. What a day it's going to be in that time. And that's why we mustn't be seduced by New Age and all these things that are going on, the promotion of the self-life. Those who are ministering to self, putting self first, will be deceived by the powers of darkness, because these signs from the enemy, the powers of darkness, will minister to the self-life. Self will be gratified by it, excited by it. And they will think that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the signs of Messiah, the signs of his coming, and they will be deceived. That is what we're rapidly moving towards, brothers and sisters. And that is why we need to be so close with the Lord in these last days. And finally, the Apostle warns the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. In other words, they will transform themselves into angels of light. And they will think that that is God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. But what are we seeing? Demonic powers. And that is what we are to resist, brothers and sisters. And as I close with this, we often need to look at ourselves and to examine ourselves and to be completely open and honest and ask this one question: am I growing stronger or weaker? Am I growing stronger or weaker? I'm not talking about your bodily flesh and about you. I'm talking about the inner man, your heart, your spirit, your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, your eyes fixed upon him. Am I growing stronger or weaker? Because that is the question. That is what the apostle is raising here to young Timothy, to grow stronger in the faith. And if we're not, then you've got time to do something about it, to change. Because I have just given you these outlines of what is coming upon the earth. We've spent time with this, and that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's why we hold to the faith teaching, because the faith, believing, is the key to escaping all of this in the last days. Nobody wants to be around in that time, because you will be grieved when you're seeing everything, even maybe your brother, your sister that you shared or fellowshipped with and prayed with, is saying, oh, that miracle is of God, when you know in your heart it isn't. What an awful day. How confusing. How awful. They are so blind, so confused. They cannot discern their left or right hand. That's how it's going. And why? Because they are lovers of themselves. And that is why we stay with the deeper life, because the nature of the deeper life teaching is to deal with your self-life so that it doesn't get in the way. That you can experience that walk that Jesus walked in the fullness of his Father. We likewise are walking in the fullness of the Spirit, our eyes totally fixed upon him. Hallelujah. Well, there we are. Faith for the problems of today. Whatever we've heard today, we've got a new Prime Minister elected, and they're all trying to predict what he's going to be like and what he's going to do and everything. They're all there. We know what we do. We pray for our leaders. We pray for this country. We are led as the Holy Spirit leads us. And that's what we do. Either we're walking by faith or we're not. Because if we're not walking by faith, then the problems of today are going to weigh us down. And they're going to get heavier and heavier. But to those who walk by faith, it isn't so much of a problem, because we know where we can place it. We know where we leave it, and that is at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for speaking to us, encouraging us, but also warning us. And we know the day is approaching very fast. The times are moving very, very quickly. And Lord, it's all around us. And Father, we don't want to be a part of it. We want to come away from it. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters where the Holy Spirit is trying to draw them away from Sodom and Gomorrah. Father, may we intercede and pray one for another that their hearts will not be in this world, but that they will come away. The same as Abraham prayed for his family, for Lot. And we know the story of Lot's wife, how she turned into a pillar of salt because she revealed her heart was still there. Lord, whatever it takes, remove it from our hearts, we pray, Lord, that we will be wholly separated completely unto you, yours and yours alone. Father, we thank you for this, and we thank you that you give us your word in order that we can pray these things. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless my brothers and sisters tonight, those who come into the room. Be with them, guide them and lead them. And may they always know the covering of the blood of Jesus over their life, their mind and heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.